You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Well, it's a big day this afternoon. We have Jonas Siegel back in here from The Athletic, and we have not seen Jonas in quite some time. What's happening, Jonas?
Not much.
Look at you
just,
over there.
Just some offer sheet mania.
Are you getting caught up in that or what?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Do you get to write your own headlines at The Athletic?
I try to because I like controlling everything. Like, I try to pick the picture, but sometimes they change it and I'm not happy.
What do you mean? It's your article. Like,
yeah, that's the way. Well, technically, the editor is supposed to be in charge of the headline, but
you don't pick your own headline.
I do. I suggest it, and like 95% of the time, they're like, okay. But then sometimes there's like, no. Are you referring to one of my articles?
No, I'm not.
Like a headline?
I'm just, you know, you guys, you're in the subscription game. So the first thing is to get people to buy a subscription. But then beyond that, it's who's going to click on my story compared to the 400 other people that work here. And I've noticed there's like a rating.
Did you mean 4,000?
There's a lot of people that work at The Athletic.
Yeah.
And then after every article you can write, you can either vote, I liked it, I didn't like it, or whatever.
Right.
So I'm assuming it's in your best interest. The more people that click on your article, the better for you.
But you also don't want to be like BuzzFeed, right? Where you're just like I don't know.
Everything's a list and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of suck people in.
The 10 places Mitch Marner could go on an offer sheet.
Right.
You know, like people would
but
click
that would
on that.
Sell.
I know.
That would
like,
sell. People would want
to
see
that. There's got to be a line, man.
I would just fire up the headline, like, naked pic.
Well, that's how you get people. That's clickbait, right? Like, that's the
yeah,
whole
yeah, you know how you get into the rabbit hole online where you're like, 10 celebrities seen naked at the beach, and then you end up scrolling through this garbage thing, and it's not even a... You end up getting into not reality. You don't even see the stupid headline.
Right. Well, it's like John Goodman. And you're like, wait a minute, they didn't. Then you realize they didn't classify like men or women celebrities.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell am I doing in this rabbit hole right now? But that's the world we live in now. You know, really it is. It's just about who's going to click. It's like podcasting. As long as you press play, that counts. Doesn't mean you listen to the whole thing.
So you can accidentally press play and...
Well, I guess that would count
you're on
technically.
Board. That's why like the juicy headlines where you get radioed, right? They got it. They can create something. O'Neill says that Marner could get traded.
I don't even care about that.
That's the world.
But that is exactly what we're talking about.
But why wouldn't you click it?
Yeah, exactly. It's more provocative.
Yeah, I want to hear what Jeff says.
Yeah. Like people get disappointed. Like I brought this up yesterday because that Yahoo report, I think, was a perfect example of that.
Where there was like no story?
Well, the headline was something along the lines of Kawhi Leonard, you know, the favorite to sign him is the Raptors. And then you read the story, and it's, well, other executives around the league believe that to be the case. Kawhi didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anyone within Kawhi's orbit. It was, you could have been calling up anybody, like someone that's not even in on the conversation with Kawhi Leonard. You call up Daryl Morey in Houston and say, what's your read on the situation? And if he says, well, I would think maybe 51% Raptors, 49% Clippers.
Favorites.
Breaking. Sources indicate... You know, there's no context to it. Doesn't have to go any deeper. But people want to hear it. Like, that's what you want to read if you're in Toronto right
well,
now.
Well, and, like, wasn't the headline, like, that the Raptors are, like, he's seriously considering them? Like, no, you know what? They just won the title. Of course he's considering the Raptors. Who else is he considering?
He just played for the team for a year. They won a championship. I would think he would be in the mix.
Yeah. Obviously, they have a pretty good pitch.
Yes.
But you get Masai Ujiri out there talking today, and we're going to play a couple of clips. And I'll say this. I would love to have the opportunity to be in his situation once in my life where you are literally, you're on a throne, and no one can throw any negativity at you. There's no negativity to throw at Masai Ujiri.
To use Noodle's terms, he could take a dump in the middle of the room, and it would, it's all good.
There's nothing you could ask him. That was going to be anything but a positive, inspiring answer from
the amount of tweets, and even from some of our colleagues, just everything that guy said, the tweets were just pumping out. When I listen to this man speak, I want to go out and be a better person.
Which, again, if Mark Shapiro word for word some of the answers Masai Ujiri gave today? Word for word. Because a lot of it from Masai was, we want to get better. We love Toronto.
No. Why it would be the opposite. It would be, I want to drive my car off the road.
Well, it would be, who is this guy to speak? Why are we listening to you? You're nobody.
The way he speaks?
Won a title.
Oh. And the combination that the other outfit is not doing well, and the way they come across, it rubs people the wrong way. And there's an appetite to not like it and not like the people that are running it and the way they speak and the way they conduct. So then it's the complete opposite.
It all comes down to wins and losses.
Absolutely.
These are all good people, right? Like, by all accounts, I don't know them personally.
Would you not agree that the losses with the Blue Jays, there's an element of the way it comes across?
Of course, because you lost.
Yeah.
Because you're losing. But that's what I'm saying.
They knew they were going to be brutal, and they came out about a month ago and said, I'm shocked that we're this bad. I really thought we were going to be better. Really?
Well, but that is misleading. Like, that's totally
But that's kind of what I'm talking about. The way you present your messaging.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying you could literally take a lot of what Masai said about how great it is. Toronto's the greatest. Canada's the greatest. We got to keep going. This is amazing. Let's be confident. If Shapiro said it, word for word, it's being torched. If Masai says it, it's the most amazing, inspiring, greatest thing of all time because of the championship ring, which is exactly what it should be. You win a title,
but I don't know how you can compare that, Brian, because there's no situation where Shapiro would even come out. He's not even close to being able to say that.
Well, in terms of him talking about the players and the team he's building, clearly. But you were saying this. A lot of people on Twitter were like, I'm so inspired by Kawhi. You're not inspired by him talking about what's going to happen with Pascal Siakam, you know, or how great of a coach Nick Nurse is. I think what people were inspired by was how he was speaking in a fashion of, the world is my oyster. Follow me because I can bring you to the promised land, because he got them to the promised land. If you haven't won before, people are going to interpret your words very differently.
Well, I don't agree with the Shapiro comparison, but I think if they don't win the championship, I don't think that Kara Wagland and Jennifer Hedger would have sent out those tweets saying, I'm so inspired right now, because they wouldn't. They're not winners. They're not the champions.
I think we're saying the same thing, though. That's my point. Is the title makes you so much more inspiring.
You can say anything you want.
And it's not that he said anything disparaging. It was positive. It should be positive. It was amazing to listen to.
And you're right.
When you pull the trigger
on that trade and you make it happen, you can talk about DeMar coming into the locker room and giving you a hug.
Right, exactly.
And it was so cool. But
you can talk
if you don't
about,
win, you're still kind of that guy that pulled off that trade.
Right.
You don't think, though, remember when he said F Brooklyn? I was like, yeah. Didn't you feel the same way?
Well,
I thought that was just.
That was awesome. When do we ever hear an executive speak, frankly?
That was a different era because they hadn't accomplished anything and they were trying.
He was
trying to force the confidence.
Yeah.
But there's an example, again, I think, where the winning comes into play.
Yeah.
Where when you don't win, you're trying too hard. When you do win, it's natural. It's been the same message.
He's also
here's an example. Craig Berube's speech in the locker room right before the game. It was about 30 seconds long, and there was 4 F-bombs. And it was regarded as one of the greatest pump-up speeches ever. But if they don't win the cup, he's just another coach swearing.
Exactly.
And that's the same as Masai Ujiri when he was F Brooklyn. They didn't win, so it was just a GM spouting off. But if they had won that series, what a great message. That is leadership. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the difference between winning and losing. Everything is just casted off. It's like, whatever. Try to pump up the crowd. But if they win, it's this magical pump-up speech that everyone's inspired by.
Yeah. There's a level of skepticism until you get to the top of the mountain.
How long do you think that lasts?
For Masai?
Like a year, two years?
It depends on winning. If you win multiple championships, you look at a guy like Greg Popovich, he could say anything in any kind of boardroom, any kind of... hired by people to make a speech, and anything that guy says is the gospel because he's the smartest coach and a winning coach, and he knows how to win. It's like Mike Babcock when he first got to Toronto. He was just like, this is the way it's going to be, and all the media, including yourself, you guys would never really question him or fire back and say, why? And he'd be like, I was in Detroit, and I coach Canada, and these guys got to do this.
He's getting questioned a bit now.
Exactly. But guess what? When he first got here, no one said Well, boo.
They were the 30th place team, so.
But you guys aren't. You're in the media.
No, but like, yeah, it's not like you're going to lose your.
You gonna say,
you're not going to lose your stuff because they're
no,
not.
No, I know,
playing.
But there
the introductory
was never,
press conference.
There was a situation a couple years into it where there were some things that went on, and I would read everyone's tweets during the game, and it was like, oh, he did this, he did that. What? Then the press conference would
that's
be like,
fair.
Ah, well, you know. And he would just say, Mike Babcock, I'm Mike, you know, whatever.
Well, that's a totally different situation. But with Masai, the elephant in the room throughout the whole press conference, and it was an hour where he was in the mood to talk. He gave some incredible answers. He led us behind the scenes to an extent, but it always is coming back to Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, what is happening with him? Is he coming back?
What is going to happen to Kawhi Leonard? And I think I can't get a read on what he had to say in terms of trying to predict what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks.
They have no idea.
They don't have a clue. They don't know. They've been talking with him. You know, he went out of his way to say multiple times, we've had constant communication. He didn't definitively say there's a date set where we're all getting in the same room. That doesn't mean there isn't a date set. I noticed that some people are overreacting to the fact that he didn't hand out when that date was. I would think if I'm Masai, I'm not letting the world know when I'm meeting him.
Sure.
Why would you want that? Because then the expectation is the next day we need an answer. What's up? So he very well may have a date. Could be tomorrow. Could be this afternoon. Could be July 1st, 2nd, 3rd. Who knows? But I don't expect. It's not Masai Ujiri's job to tell the world when he's meeting with Kawhi Leonard. But I do think he was kind of planting the seed for people to trust him if Kawhi ends up leaving. Because there was a long time where he was the manager of this team, where Kawhi Leonard was not here. And he kept preaching confidence. And he kept preaching, we can and we will win a championship. And that was a big part of the message that I took out of today, was that Masai announced he's staying in Toronto. He loves it in Toronto. Clearly, he wants Kawhi Leonard to stay. He's going to do everything he can to get Kawhi Leonard to stay. But if Kawhi leaves, I think Masai wants the basketball community in this city and throughout the country to understand it's not the end of the world. Because he has done it before. Without Kawhi, eventually he went out and got Kawhi. And I think that was a message he was trying to send today.
You believe that?
I don't see why you can't. He's already proven that he can. Now, again, if they hadn't won the title, then I would not be believing in Masai Ujiri's message that eventually he would get it done. But when you win a title, when you tell people for years, I'm telling you, I'm going to get it done, and then you get it done, who am I to question whether or not he can do it again? Even without Kawhi Leonard. Now, without Kawhi Leonard, they're not going to win next year. But who's to say in 2 years they don't go out there and get Giannis? Who's to say in 2 years they don't work out a deal and all of a sudden the next stud is coming to Toronto that wants out of their current situation?
Well, you can never question the guy wanting to get the man that's out there or one of the guys.
Or his ability to do it. And that was the core message I took out of today. Obviously, they want Kawhi Leonard. But if they don't start this, hey, we're back into the dark ages of Raptors fandom and pessimism and lack of confidence. I think Masai was telling people today, we'll figure this out. We're not going backwards. And that's a message I think that's very important. Because who knows what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard. But the Raptors are playing next year. And the year after that, and the year after that, and they're going to be here for decades and decades and decades. So if Kawhi leaves, okay. That's not optimal, clearly. Get back to work and let's get it going. And I think Masai Ujiri deserves the benefit of the doubt.
He does deserve the benefit of the doubt, Ryan, but
I think you're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, he is drinking the Kool-Aid, and you kind of, like, you should drink the Kool-Aid to some degree, but I don't agree with what you just said. If Kawhi leaves, I kind of take a step back, and I'm like, they're just a good team.
Well, I just said they're not winning next year if Kawhi leaves. But like I said, why can't Masai Ujiri pull off the same trick again in 2 years?
Well, I guess your point is,
why can't he do that?
Well, pulling off the same trick and trading a guy here as opposed to luring somebody here and saying, come to Toronto, that's a totally different ballgame.
And that's never happened in the NBA, right?
They've never picked here.
No, Hedo Turkoglu picked here.
Oh my God!
That's not
what a great era that was. Was it the pizza commercials that he did?
Yeah, he did a fair amount of those. That's it. That's their biggest free agent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I guess your point is he has shown that he's willing.
Turkaloo.
Do you remember the Andrea Bargnani pasta commercials? Good stuff.
Primo pasta.
But I guess what he's shown that he can do is he's willing to make like the big swing. Like he's going to try to hit for the fences, right? Like, and to me, like if you look at MLSC.
I think if you just put a big bow on it, it's he doesn't accept mediocrity and he will not accept that Toronto will not be that.
He's like putting championship or bust, basically. And I think like the Leafs and Raptors, since Masai and Shanahan took over, it was like, we're not just trying to be a good team. We want to win championships. And I think that's, to me, like, if you look at, like, big picture, what changed is that. So I don't know if I'm buying the Kool-Aid as much as you are. But
what Kool-Aid do you think I'm drinking?
Well, it's like you think that he's done it once that you can do it again. It's really hard to have happen what happened.
Right,
look at all the different breaks that happened.
Yeah.
Now, some of them he forced. But, like, a top three player in the world becoming available.
And that's why
in that
he's going to get paid,
situation,
whether it be here or he's going to get paid anywhere else, because he did it here. And any team, if he leaves Toronto and goes somewhere else, they're going to be like, that guy did that in Toronto, and that's why we're bringing him here.
Yeah.
He will lead us to the promised land.
It is truly one of the greatest accomplishments in NBA history. Like, the Raptors have been an outpost. And I say that being a guy from Toronto. This isn't some hot take artist in LA or New York. I've been here for the whole ride. They've been an outpost. They've never been able to sign free agents. All their best players couldn't wait to get out. We've heard about it, customs, ESPN, all that garbage. Winning a title here, I still don't think it's resonated with most people.
No.
Myself included. I still can't believe the Raptors won the NBA title.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point I'm making. I'm not guaranteeing Masai can do it again.
No,
but I think it's important.
You get the street cred where.
Yeah.
It's like Jimmy Rutherford won a Stanley Cup in Carolina.
Boom.
He had some just lean years where it was like, what's this guy doing there? Pittsburgh said, this is the guy that's going to do it for us. What did he do? He did it twice more in Pittsburgh. And
now he's in the Hall of Fame.
Look how
he's
long
going to the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame
and
today.
He probably could work till he's 85 years old, because somebody would say, we got to bring this guy in to help us get over the hill or over the top and get a championship here. It's just... You just win that championship. It's a lifetime.
You get to coast. Look at how long Lou Lamoriello is.
Good people don't coast. They have the drive.
That's another thing he was trying to put forth. That's what I'm saying.
But it's your reputation. Like, look at how long Lou Lamoriello has been able to kind of keep that reputation. When was the last time the Devils won the Cup? 2003? That's a long time ago.
Yep.
But it's like, what do you mean? He won cups. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Don't ever say that about Lou Lamoriello's judgment, because
right.
Look what he did in New Jersey.
And it's like, man... So, I don't know. I just see, like, Stan Bowman in Chicago. It didn't, like, they won three cups. And, like, a couple years later when they started to get bad or not as good, he took heat. Like, it won't last.
Listen.
Oh,
like,
deservedly so.
You never get a lifetime
exemption.
Exemption.
But maybe Masai will, because it's the first.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know where this is going in 2 or 3 years. All I'm saying is my perspective on, and I don't think it's drinking any Kool-Aid. I think it was an intentional...
You're just so offended by that comment, drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but I don't know what Kool-Aid you guys are even talking
about. He said
it,
not me.
Like, I think what I'm saying is my interpretation of the message that was sent today, beyond, you know, everything that was, you know, glorified and should be and celebrated today because of what was just accomplished, was Masai indicating very clearly, everyone knows, they want Kawhi Leonard. But if he leaves... Masai understands the importance of selling everybody on the fact that this doesn't mean we're back into disaster mode in Toronto. It means they're going to take a step back. They're not winning a title next year. But I think Masai is trying to convince people, trust me, I'll figure this out. And I didn't trust him 100%, not even close this time last year. Nobody has had more of a turnaround over a calendar year than Masai Ujiri in this town. Nobody I can think of. When you consider the swings and the gambles he took, you know, firing the coach of the year for his replacement, who's an assistant coach who's been on the bench for 5 years, trading for a guy who everyone knew didn't really want to be here and only played 9 games the year before. We all know what he did. And now he's at a point where you're like, all right, you won a title, man. I can't challenge you on a lot of different things. And how can you not have faith that if plan A doesn't work out, he's probably going to get creative with plan B? And I think he deserves that credit. Kool-Aid or otherwise.
How much would you be texting Kawhi or talking to Kawhi if you were him right now?
There's only
just
so
like
much
question
you can
mark
do.
And
I mean, you've made
text?
Your pitch.
Just leave.
I love this Uncle Dennis character though. He is like he's even referred to as Uncle Dennis.
Oh yeah.
Just like I spoke to Uncle Dennis last night. I spoke to Kawhi this morning. It's like this Uncle Dennis is just right in the mix. He's the guy.
He's the middle guy. Basically, if you want to get to Kawhi, that's who you got to talk to first.
Yeah.
He's on the parade float. He's down by the floor
he's
during
Uncle
all the games.
Dennis.
He's a serious character. And he's going to play a big part in what happens in the next couple of weeks. Josh Lewenberg will join us. We'll continue to react to what Masai Ujiri had to say earlier this morning. Ray Ferraro coming up. We're going to do some trivia. I'm pitting the two of you together. Pitting the two of you
Battle
against
of
each other.
Battle the Titans.
Yes. I will
the dumb dumb
moderator.
Open.
Yeah, so we'll do that at some point.
Is it going to be just sports or?
We've got a variety of topics.
Politics? Current events?
No, I'm not doing that.
It's going to be like geography, pop culture, maybe some Canadian history. Just right up your alley.
Dude, this guy went to university. You can't go.
I didn't finish.
Yeah, but he was the number two guy.
Oh, really? I went to grade 10.
Yeah, but you're smart
You'll
enough.
Be fine.
Yeah.
So we'll get to some trivia. And we might revisit what we did last week, Noodles and I. Again, I'll kind of stay out of it. I'll chime in a little bit. But Mitch Marner compared to other players in his bubble. Other forwards around the league. Mm-hmm. Who would you rather have on your team if you're building a team for the next 7 or 8 years? Because you didn't have that opinion. You weren't here that day. And Jonas, now you're in here too. So we'll probably revisit that topic as well later
Love
in the
it.
Afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, this is a very important text. You can text us at any point, 1050-50. Does Uncle Dennis have bar play? I think he's got to have some bar play. He's a powerful figure in the city. He's connected to Kawhi Leonard, the most popular figure in the city. If you're part of Kawhi's entourage, I think Dude. You're going to get noticed at the bar.
The line is, if the man is single, do you know who Kawhi Leonard is? I dictate the future.
I'm Uncle Dennis.
Yeah. How much do you like Uncle Dennis? Because I might factor in me liking Toronto.
Has bar play.
Do you think he just goes by Dennis, though, when he's out there?
I think when he gets into it, he goes by Uncle Dennis the Menace.
Uncle Denny. That's if you really know him.
That's when he really gets into it. Or he's in Quebec.
Uncle Denny. Uncle Denny in Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Lewenberg will join us, our Raptors reporter. He was down at the press conference today, Masai Ujiri, speaking for just over an hour, you know, and was obviously in a great mood. He should be in a great mood. He just won a title.
Could have very easily been 10 or 15 minutes, couldn't it?
Yeah, but who's going to stop him?
No, I know, but
like, why wouldn't you want to hear
from him? He was loving it.
He should love it.
Yeah.
That's the whole point I'm making. Like, I would love to have that opportunity in life where you're sitting up on a throne and you're looking out on a group of people that have taken runs at you. He knows why they've taken runs at him. I've taken runs at Masai over the years. Everyone's going to be critical at certain times, and guess what? It will continue in the future. He's going to make mistakes. But right after you win a championship, the first time you speak with the media and then vicariously through the media to the fans, you are sitting on top of the world.
I always thought I was just at the draft, and I always thought the best feeling or a really good feeling is if you get to walk on the draft floor and you just won the cup and you're just looking at all the other GMs and all the other managers and you're like, hey, what's up?
How you guys doing?
Yeah. We're going to sit at the
back. Where are you guys picking?
Yeah.
Because you exactly. know where I'm picking.
Yeah.
I'm picking 31st. I don't know where you're picking.
Well, we've been to multiple NHL drafts, and it's when you're the Cup champs, every team that goes up there, congratulations. Congratulations, congratulations. For that 1 year, you are the man.
Absolutely.
Like, if you're Doug Armstrong and you're just walking down a hallway, you're not getting out of the way. Someone's coming the other way. I'm just bumping into
shoulders. Yeah, Doug Armstrong's another guy. He won a Cup in Dallas. He won another one in St. Louis. He's got... I don't know how old Doug is. He's probably 50-something. He might be 60 years old. I don't know. But he's got a full-time gig.
Yep. He accomplished the impossible as well. He brought a cup to St. Louis.
Yeah.
No one saw that coming.
And he did something where he believed in a team that was in last place, and he said, you know what, we just got to change the coach. So if you need somebody to just get a culture change or make a tweak or do something, there's your guy. I got to get that guy to come in here.
Well, and then he sold Craig Berube on only taking a 3-year deal.
I want to know what the number is.
Me too.
I'm dying to know what that number is, because it better start with a 6.
I don't think it will. Because why didn't Berube say, I want at least a 5-year deal? Minimum. Guaranteed 5-year deal. I just won you a cup.
No, but for Craig, maybe it's not a bad idea. Because if it plays out, Craig Berube, same thing. He won the cup. He got them to turn it around. Another team will say, I got to get that guy. Just like Todd McClellan. Todd McClellan didn't do anything in Edmonton. He was handed a 5x5 deal.
That's my point. How does he get 5x5 and Berube only gets 3? He's never going to have more leverage than what he just got. He just won the cup. He's never going to win it again.
But maybe after the 3, he turns that. But you're right. Maybe. He deserved the 5x5 in St. Louis.
I would think so.
Actually, 6, because he did the ultimate goal. He won the cup.
Right. All right, here's Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter. You've been to many of these press conferences over the years. Have you ever seen Masai Ujiri in a better mood than what he was portraying today with the media?
No, I've also never seen him speak for 57 minutes. I don't think he broke the seal on the water bottle that he was sitting in front of him either. At one point, he dabbed his forehead, I think jokingly, wiping off a little bit of sweat after he was asked if basketball would ever overtake hockey in this city. But for the most part, he was just trucking through that thing for nearly an hour. It's interesting. We've been talking about it all year. This has been such a weird and at times uncomfortable year for Masai, who of course had to make some bold and unpopular decisions last summer. He took a lot of heat for firing Dwayne Casey and trading DeMar DeRozan. I think it was also a little bit awkward for him because for so long, Masai had been everybody's hero, everybody's friend, and now all of a sudden a couple of guys, and maybe you throw Kyle Lowry in there also, that were a big part of his professional success, wouldn't talk to him, were painting him as a villain. So for the most part this year, he operated in the shadows, a guy that is just so naturally comfortable in the spotlight that has given us so many of these iconic moments in front of a microphone over the years. He had barely spoken at all this year. But now, of course, you win a championship. That changes a lot of things. That vindicates you from a lot of things. And he was back in the spotlight today. It looked like he had left. I thought he was going to drop the mic after guaranteeing the Maple Leafs would win the Stanley Cup. That maybe would have been the time to end it. But he just kept on going. And I'll say this about Masai. He's not boring.
Josh, the big question going into the presser was what's going to happen with Kawhi. I mean, what do you think has to play out here? He knows the city. Is he just got to talk to the Clippers? Does he have to talk to Uncle Dennis? I mean, what do you think plays out here where he's going to make a decision whether he comes back or not?
Oh, I would be really surprised if this takes more than a few days, and that might even be too much considering what would Kawhi have to do at this point.
Josh, do you think he knows what he's going to do already, or is there?
I think he does. I mean, why wouldn't he at this point? I think we have a pretty good idea of what the reasons would be why he would stay. The money, the chance to win a championship, the mutual trust that they've built here. And I think he has a pretty good idea of why he would leave, specifically to go to the Clippers. Those seem like the two teams in play here. If you're going to go to the Clippers, it's going to be because you want to play close to home, maybe the warm climate and all of that. I think the factors are pretty clear. They've been pretty clear for a while now. Maybe he takes a few meetings, but what are the Clippers going to tell him in this meeting? What are the Raptors going to say in this meeting that changes his mind? I think he has a pretty good idea of what he's going to do. And even if he doesn't, at least he has the information to work with already. To me, he doesn't seem like a guy that needs to be or wants to be wooed. I think if the Raptors or the Clippers or any team goes in there and puts on an elaborate presentation, PowerPoint, videos, special guests, like that's just going to do them a disservice, I think. So I don't see this bleeding into the middle of July or even July 5th, 6th, the end of the moratorium. I think this is going to be settled within the first few days and we're going to know. But the biggest takeaway today in terms of the Kawhi stuff from Masai is that, and this isn't a huge surprise, is that he, like the rest of us, is waiting on Kawhi's decision. To me, like, I think he's confident, and I reported about 2 months ago that he was confident, but I don't think he or the Raptors have any idea more than we do of what Kawhi is going to do.
We were just discussing Uncle Dennis. Can you give any insight to what this guy brings to the table? You've had to cross paths with him. He's clearly not LaVar Ball, where it's just off the charts. He's just around. He's Kawhi's guy. Do you have any insight on what he brings to the table or what he's all about?
Yeah, definitely a whole lot quieter than LaVar Ball. He kind of like Masai this year. He operates in the shadows behind the scenes, but more and more as the season went on, he was around. You didn't see him much the beginning of the season. I saw him around a few times the preseason, probably helping Kawhi get settled. But then this was something that we talked about a little bit. I think I mentioned when I was in studio with you guys toward the end of the season in the playoffs is that as the year goes on, you're seeing him around more. He was traveling with the team during the playoffs. He'd be the guy after wins in the playoffs that would be outside of the locker room, high-fiving guys, hugging guys, talking to Masai for a long time. And I can confirm based on what I've heard, what I've seen, that Masai has built a really strong relationship with Uncle Dennis. I also like, by the way, today that he actually calls him, refers to him as Uncle Dennis. So that's important because we know, I mean, not only is that Kawhi's uncle, but he's incredibly influential in terms of the business decisions that Kawhi has made and probably will make going forward.
With Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter, he was in the room for Masai Ujiri's season-ending press conference today that went just over an hour, and it was very optimistic, and Masai was in the mood to talk, and a lot of people inspired by what he had to say. But I had a bit of a different viewpoint in terms of the message I thought he was trying to portray today. It goes without saying, we all know he wants Kawhi Leonard back. But he understands that there's a real opportunity here and a real chance that Kawhi won't return. And if he doesn't return, then it's time for Masai to start getting out in front of this and spinning the PR. And I think he spent a large portion of the press conference today trying to convince people, even if Kawhi leaves, it's okay. Yes, it's a step backwards in terms of the talent. They're probably not going to win a title next year, although Masai's not going to put his name beside a statement like that. But I think he's trying to convince people, I've done this already once. I can do it again. We're not going back into the dark ages where guys are dying to get out of here and we're winning 28 games and we're bottoming out. That was the impression I got, was that, yes, Kawhi is the priority, but if it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world. And put faith in me because I've done it before. Did you get that same read?
I did. And, it's not incorrect either in the sense that I think next season is a bridge season no matter what happens here. I mean, if the Raptors run it back and Kawhi re-signs, I mean, first of all, it doesn't sound like the option to sign a five-year deal and for Kawhi to go for that long-term security is really as realistic as it once was. It seems like the options here are like go to the Clippers, leave, or sign a short-term deal. A lot of people talking about a potential one-and-one deal, a one-year deal with a second-year option for Kawhi, which actually would make a lot of sense because it would line him up contractually with basically everyone else in this Raptors core. So why I think that would be interesting is you run it back for 1 year, you try and repeat as champions, compete for a championship next season, and after that, you essentially start from scratch. I mean, either Kawhi stays and you build around him, add new pieces, or re-sign the guys you have if they're still producing, you take another path. And then the alternative is if Kawhi leaves, you've got this core, Lowry, Ibaka, Gasol, Van Vliet for one more year. To your point, Brian, you probably run it back, if for no other reason than I think moving all those contracts. If you did decide, okay, let's start a rebuild here, I think that would be just too difficult mechanically. Just it moving $30 million contracts is too difficult to do. So you run it back for 1 year, and after that, then yeah, Masai's in a situation where once again, he's got to go out and make bold moves. He'd have a lot of money to work with, a lot of roster spots to fill. I think that's probably what he's doing here, is getting ahead of it in both scenarios, is getting ahead of it because in a year from now, this team could look very different regardless of what Kawhi decides to do.
Josh, we got to get you out of here, but I want to know one thing. Does Uncle Dennis, when he travels, does he fly on the team bird?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think he probably does.
That would be...
Why wouldn't he? He's a family member. Plus,
wouldn't another guy say, hey, my Uncle John is...
Don't you think Kawhi Leonard's been treated differently all year? You really think the guy, you know, Patrick McCaw's coming up saying, my uncle's in town too. Can he come? I think
the Raptors do have a policy that family members are not permitted to travel. Like I know wives, girlfriends, kids, they're not. I know that Kawhi at one point early in the season was pushing for it, but I believe that the rules stood throughout the whole season because other guys weren't allowed to do it. So I guess the answer would be no. I don't think Uncle Dennis was on the plane.
Well, that's a shame. It's all good. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter. Ray Ferraro coming up, our TSN hockey analyst, in about 15 minutes. We'll get back into the Marner comparisons league-wide. We'll put Jonas Siegel on the hot seat. Because I have a feeling you're going to say, like, you would prefer Marner over McDavid for the next 8 years.
No.
That's the one guy.
You'll have one that'll just chap
your ass.
There'll
be a couple. So, and hey, who knows what your takes are going to be, too. You're involved in this as well. Jonas is in here from The Athletic. The O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Ray's coming up in about 20 minutes. Jonas Siegel's in here from The Athletic. Looks like we all got haircuts. Did you get your haircut today? I got my haircut.
Something weird happened at mine, though.
I had an episode as well. An episode.
Let me ask you, how long did your haircut take?
Probably the whole operation, walking in the door and leaving, is maybe a half an hour.
Mine, 11 minutes.
That's not bad, though. That's better.
Oh, I was thrilled.
That's great.
It was just zoom, 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 get out.
Do you talk, or do you just sit there
quietly? I never want to talk to the person cutting my hair.
Yeah.
I hate it.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I don't put out a vibe like I'm in the mood to talk. I will have a conversation. I'm not going to be
rude.
There's
no need for it, though.
Yeah, let's get going here. Like, you want me out because you want the next person coming in as well. Don't pretend like you want me hanging around.
And I'm happy with that.
Absolutely.
I went to the barber shop at Vaughn Mills, and it was 10:40 or something. And I was like, you know, you'll be there in 10:50. So I sit down at 10:50. 11 minutes later, I walked out. I was like,
perfect.
You have a customer for life.
Yeah. That is perfect. Because men's haircuts, they're not complicated.
I said to her, look, short hair, I'm 43 years old. Don't cut it like one of these kids with the line.
Shave the side, you know, clean up the top, and I'm out of here.
Out.
Yeah, it's fine. No
11
problem.
Minutes.
It's really not overly complicated. My issue was it was hot this morning.
Did you get one too today?
Yesterday.
Look at us. And I walked with my wife, two daughters, my oldest daughter, to daycare, and then we walk back. It takes about 45 minutes. So I was going to the barber at like 11. I had booked a spot at 11. We walk back in the door at 10:45. I am soaking. I have a sweat going that will not be stopping within the next 2 or 3 hours. So I went to get my hair cut, and I am sweating profusely throughout the whole operation. I felt so bad for this woman. Because you could tell it was uncomfortable sweat. Like, it wasn't just a little bit of, like, this guy needs to dab.
No, you're a pig.
I was a pig.
And like, she's, like, trying to...
Well, yeah, like, the hair's getting stuck all over her face.
I know. You got to get the towel and wipe you down.
Yeah, but there's only so much of that you can do.
The worst is when they put the hair dryer on you, you start heating up more, and it's just, you're in a sauna.
Yeah. I was an offensive lineman playing outdoors in Houston in September.
Yeah.
And it was the fourth quarter.
And you didn't apologize?
You needed the mask on the sidelines for air.
I did. I needed a shower in between the haircut. And, you know, she was really nice. She wasn't going to say anything, but it was just so blatantly obvious that it was uncomfortable. We both knew what was going on.
Why didn't you say anything?
Well, what am I supposed to say?
Sorry about all the sweat.
I probably should have either not gone for that walk right before I went for the haircut or called an audible and said, can you give me an hour?
Or she could have just washed your hair.
Well, she did that before we even got into the chair.
Oh.
This was post.
Oh, but you were still sweating.
Oh, dude. You know when you get a sweat going, you can't stop.
That's schvitzing.
Well, if she should have known, if she's had a filthy animal in there before that was sweating like a pig, you cool them down. Cold water on the hair.
That's like, not gonna cool. Cut it, man.
It's just like a big elephant when they go to the water. You got to cool down.
It's the one thing that has not been cured. Actually, that's not true. There's been a lot of things that have been cured. But there should be scientists, like teams of scientists set up somewhere specifically to stop the middle-aged men who sweat profusely.
There is all kinds of stuff for that.
How do you stop that? There's no remedy for
stopping
it.
There's like lasers under your armpits. You'll never sweat again.
That's
I'm telling
true.
You.
That's not true.
Dude, you want me to look it up for you?
You're telling me there's a science where you're never going to sweat?
Yes.
For starters, you can't have a human body without sweat.
There's laser surgery for armpits where they laser under your arms. You don't sweat.
So then what about your head?
Yeah, what about your squash?
I don't know.
But I don't care about my arms. I'm talking about my squash. Like, I am sweating profusely in the chair. I don't think it's curable. I don't think it can be stopped. I don't think there's a remedy out there. I don't think anyone can do anything. Even if you spray yourself with cold water, you're still going to start
sweating. This is like an old school remedy for me, but I wore it in one of our trivias. What about a sweatband for you?
That's tough to get your hair cut with a sweatband on, but you're right.
No, but just like a go-to thing, you go for a walk, you got the Pascal Siakam sweatband. You can get a logo on it, Hazy B. I don't know, but it's just an idea.
Yeah, it might be.
Because nobody needs you walking around sweating like that kind of pig.
Yeah, like an offensive lineman in the fourth quarter. Of a grueling, like, run-first game.
Just Chris Berman on the 17th hole at the Pebble Beach.
If I had khakis on
with
these things, I would have just put them. I would have walked out with no pants on. I would have said, here's an extra $20.
Yeah.
Throw those in a fire out and back.
A little bit of lighter fluid, light a match, and goodbye.
Just get rid of those, please. All right, we're going to compare Mitch Marner to a bunch of other players within his category to start the next hour. I'm going to put Jonas Siegel on the clock. Jeff O'Neill on the clock.
I've already
taken part in this practice. But I'll chime in. You know if the mic's on, I'm going to get in.
Maybe you should vote. Ruling.
Yeah, maybe I will be. Yeah. The judge, jury, and executioner.
I like it.
So we'll get to that and more coming up. Ray Ferraro will join us. We'll get into the Jays game last night.
We're going to be back in a couple minutes. Jonas Siegel, Jeff O'Neill, and Sir Sweats-a-Lot.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.